I hope and pray Acts, the Church on the Move, has blessed you. I really hope, as you saw last week in the gleanings from the series, we should be excited, we should be wanting, and we should be willing to serve the Lord while He gives us that opportunity before He takes us to glory. Amen? This next series, though, I believe will help us personally and collectively be successful in pursuing what we spoke of in the Blessed Life series and the Acts series. We saw in both series that the love for Jesus Christ is the fundamental motive to live the blessed life and have the desire and the ability and the wherewithal to be the church on the move, to be the church that He has called us to be. So we're going to put that series aside. It's now done, and I pray it had impact in your life. This morning, we are going to begin in this first month of the year a study of the book of Hosea. And the first question out of your mouth may be, wait a minute, we went from Acts, this amazing early church on the move, to Hosea? Why? I mean, Pastor, did you just throw a dart at the Bible and you just happened to land on Hosea and you said, well, hey, that sounds good? I mean, why go to an Old Testament book? I mean, isn't it old? Especially one like Hosea, a minor prophet. I mean, it can't be relevant, can it, to our modern world, to our technological society, to our age of enlightenment, to our vast knowledge we have today? I mean, how can this old book like Hosea have any relevancy? And besides, Pastor, I can't even find it in the Bible with going out to the front and getting the page number. Hosea. Well, I'm going to submit to you that the message of Hosea is just the message that the church actually needs to be hearing today. It is just the message the United States of America needs to hear today. And it's just the message that you, as an individual believer in your walk with Christ, as you're pursuing that relationship with Jesus Christ, needs to hear today. And though Hosea lived and wrote in the 8th century BC, his message given to him by God, by the unchanging, that's what we know about God, He's the same today, by the unchanging God, it comes roaring to life in the 21st century to challenge me, to challenge you, to challenge each and every one of us today. We will see that the spiritual climate and the spiritual culture that Hosea ministered to is being mirrored today, not only in our country, but sadly in the church in these last days. Interesting. Do we ever wonder why we have to preach series like First Love? Do we ever wonder why Jesus has to write to the church of Ephesus and say, you've forgotten your first love? Do we ever wonder why we need to be spiritually growing and there's such a lack of living the blessed life in so many lives? Do we ever wonder why the church is not passionately on the move for Jesus Christ impacting the world around them today? Do you ever wonder why? Well, there could be numerous answers to those questions. But maybe the importance of the book of Hosea, we can find a lot of those answers, as it's highlighted in its very unique ending. Hosea is the only book in the Bible that closes with a call from God to men of every age who would be wise to know, to understand, and discern the message of the book. Wow, Let's read it together. Hosea 14, 9. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them, but transgressors will stumble in them. People from all generations have needed and have searched for wisdom, have they not? Have you ever needed or searched for wisdom? And the church is in desperate need of godly wisdom today. Hosea is God's wisdom for the ages, all ages, all times. Therefore, our title of this series is Hosea, Wisdom for Our Age. Hence, you will see a search bar in the title name because people are searching for wisdom. Isn't that amazing? So let me say to you this morning, if you do not know Hosea, you're really not as wise as you ought to be. If you don't know Hosea, we really don't understand as we should. If we don't know the book of Hosea, we're not as discerning as we must be. We must be discerning. We must walk with godly wisdom. We must understand. So this morning, you know me, I like to do little weird things in series. We are not going to get much into the book of Hosea at all. We're going to focus on the wisdom we should get out of the book of Hosea on the forefront, so when we move into Hosea, we have that baseline. Amen? So let's begin the book of Hosea by going to the end of the book. We're going to go to the end, and then we'll come back and deal with the rest of the book. Let's go to the end of the book where we see three things that God says, whoever is wise, they will heed from the book of Hosea. If we can get these three things on the foundation, we'll build on those from there. Lord, right now, I just pray for Jim and his family, for Tricia, for Paula. Lord, we ask that you comfort them, give them your peace, engulf them in your loving arms. Lord, to think that as we sit here today to look at this, your word, to think that Carol Ann is ushered into your very presence. Lord, I pray that you will be glorified through this, that many will come to know you as their personal Savior through it, that you will comfort Jim and Tricia and use them mightily for your name and your kingdom. I pray today, Lord, as we look at these truths, here we are. We are still here. We are still wrestling with the flesh. We are still wrestling with the things of this world. I pray, Lord, that we submit to your word, that we hear your word and listen to it and apply it to our life. Lord, we want to be who you want us to be. Lord, I pray that you receive all glory today. And may we redeem the time that you give us here to serve you. In your precious name, Lord. Amen. So Hosea 14, 9, let's go to the back. It says, whoever is wise. Whoever is wise. How many of you know wisdom is not always easy to come by? You know, I'm going to start out with a funny. Some of you are going to think this funny. Others of you may think, But I read about a wife, who was looking in the mirror, and her husband were getting ready to go out to an event, and they were in their more mature years. And her husband was preparing to get ready, and he's in the bedroom, and she's in the bathroom getting ready, and she began to list things that she didn't think were very good anymore. She said, "Honey, look at my skin. It's starting to sag. I mean, look at my wrinkles on my face and these spots on my skin. Look at all my gray hair. I didn't realize I had this much gray hair And look how much weight I've gained. Becoming discouraged is what was happening. But up to this moment, he was doing just fine. Well, as she was discouraged, she said, "Darling, could you please give me a little bit of encouragement right now?" And he said, "Well, honey, here's the good thing. Your eyesight is just as good as ever." That is not wise. There is truth in comedy. But that's not the wisdom we're talking about. On a more serious note, in this book of Hosea, God through Hosea, he concludes the book by challenging all who have read the book, all who have heard the words of the book, to learn the lessons that were taught in the book. What is the book about before we get into it? In very broad terms, and we will get more detailed later as we move through the series, but in very broad terms for now, Hosea is about God's dealing with the nation of Israel, who is presented as a faithless, disloyal wife to her faithful, loving, and loyal husband, who is God. That's the broad. And we're going to get more in detail as we move along. Also, Hosea is about love. On Israel's part, love that is betrayed, a love that is misplaced. But yet on God's part, a love that purifies, amen? A love that preserves, a love that even yet, in the face of that, pardons. Wow. There is probably no book in the Bible which is as powerful and personal as Hosea in revealing the very heart of God. Wow. You see, in the book of Hosea, we are carried into God's heart to see and to feel as he does when his amazing love is rejected and also when it is accepted. And we get to see into his heart. In fact, you may not know this, but the various forms of the word love are used more times in Hosea than all the other 11 books of the minor prophets combined. Wow. Gary Smith, in one of his commentaries on Hosea, he writes this. He says, "The message of Hosea should open the eyes of the readers today, not only to the awesome nature of God's love for us, but also to the terrible harm human sinfulness causes to anyone's personal relationship with God. Hosea helps us understand that unfaithfulness to a commitment to love God is like prostitution. It is not just a minor, insignificant slip that has no consequences." Wow, is that often how we look at sin in our life? We shall see in this series that sin not only brings great harm into our lives, but what we so often fail to realize is this: our sin hurts God deeply. It hurts him deeply. You see, sin not only breaks God's law, but it breaks his heart. Have you thought about this? It's one thing to sin and break the command of God, but how does that impact God? Does it mean anything to you that it breaks his heart? That should matter a great deal to us, should it not? Does our faith or our lack of truly resonate with us that it directly impacts the Lord? Do we ever really sit down to think about that? Has our definition and realization of what sin is in this culture and what we tolerate in our lives risen to the Lord's standard, or has it been diminished to the standard of the world? has that definition of what we think and tolerate with sin, is that in our lives on a slippery slope, and is it heading down that slope? Hosea is going to challenge us to examine the nature of our love relationship with the Lord. It's going to cause us to ask questions. Is this love relationship I have with the Lord, is it authentic, passionate, personal? Is it faithful and devoted? Is it that type of relationship characterized by faithfulness and devotion to the Lord alone? We will not be able to get through the series without all of us being impacted and have to answer these type of questions. Is your relationship with Christ truly authentic? Hosea, it is the sad story, everyone, of the multiplied sorrows of a nation that was not wise enough to listen to the Lord, not wise enough to love Him, not wise enough to obey the Lord, who actually overwhelmingly, perfectly loved them. Wow, we need to learn from that. So what God does is He closes His words to Hosea with His word to us. Let him understand these things, he says. Let him know them. Understand what's in this book. Know these things in this book. In other words, God is saying, if you are wise, if you have truly, utterly understood these things that Hosea has written, that is, if you've really been discerning as you to really know them, then God is saying you will come away from the book of Hosea convinced of three things that will characterize you with a foundation of wisdom. God's saying if you want to know them, if you want to experience them, if you want to understand these things in this book, know these three things and build on them. And we're going to look at those this morning. The very first thing you must know is the ways of the Lord are right. The ways of the Lord are right. You are not a wise person if you really do not know this. You are not as wise as you think you are if you really do not believe this with all your heart. This Hebrew word here, right, comes from the word meaning smooth, level, straight, upright. It is translated most often as that which is upright in nature. It is the way that is righteous. It is the way that is correct. It is the way that is pleasing to the Lord. I mean, think about it. That statement, the ways of the Lord are right, are ridiculous in the world's eyes today. I mean, what is right? What is right? We're living in a culture today that believes there is no right way. There is no one truth. Your truth versus my truth versus anyone's truth for them. We're living in a world that wants to compromise and allow for anything and everything, especially since there are no what? Absolutes anymore. Since there are no truths, we are living in a world that wants to make up its own way and determine for itself what is right, what is wrong, or neither, depending on your definition of it. The ways of the Lord are right are not that easy in today's world. It is a monumental statement. This is very important, though. You see, the wise person concludes. Notice that word I said, concludes, that the ways of the Lord are right, and very important, has no doubt about it. What's so important is we're talking about conviction, not persuasion. The wise man knows, and he's convicted by it. You see, the issue of what is right and what is wrong is settled in the heart of the wise man. You see what I'm saying? It is settled, done, no other way. The ways of the Lord are right. I am convicted. Therefore, I am not persuaded. There is no compromise in my heart concerning the ways of the Lord, is the wise man. What is right is what God calls right, and what is wrong is what God calls wrong, and you say, period. Period. The world does not know this, nor do they understand this, nor do they believe it. You see, what is settled in their heart is worldly wisdom. A wisdom biblically defined as what they truly possess, foolishness. Based on their worldview, based on their experiences, based on mankind's wants and mankind's desires, they have no real conviction, and their persuasion changes by circumstance. Did you hear me? There's no real conviction, but what they believe changes by circumstance. The wise man is convinced the ways of the Lord are right regardless of circumstance. We're told in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. My friends, there is the battle. There it is. There is the struggle. There is the conflict. It's always comes down to this. Will it be God's way or my way? That's where the battle is, the love of self. My way or God's? Which way is right? You know, we're going to be looking at Israel. And when Israel was about to enter the promised land, Moses told them a new way of living was to characterize their lives. As God had redeemed them out of the slavery and bondage of Egypt, as he had kept his word to them, and now he was about to carry them into the promised land, Moses said this in Deuteronomy 12:8, "You shall not do at all what we are doing here today. Every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes." You see that? Doing what was right in their own eyes was to be replaced in these words in verse 28. "Be careful to listen to all these words which I command you, so that it may be well with you and your sons after you forever. For you will be doing now what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God." You see, there is only one right way, and that is God's way. You see, one of the charges God laid upon Israel that led to her many sorrows is in Hosea 10:13. "You have trusted your own way." Do you see this? If your theme song in life is, "I did it my way," get a new song. You're heading for a confrontation with God sooner or later, and that is never pleasant. That's not a good theme song. But that is a true lesson the wise take to heart in the book of Hosea. So this morning, first we saw that the ways of the Lord are right. The next foundation you must lay into your life and act upon as we go through this book is the righteous will walk in them. The righteous will walk in them. Them, what is that? The right ways of the Lord. Right on. The wise person not only knows that the ways of the Lord are right. It's one thing to know they're right, but he walks in them therefore demonstrating he is a righteous person seeking to live the right way according to God. Bottom line is this: he knows and he goes. He knows and he goes. He knows and he goes God's right way. It's not sufficient to just know the ways of the Lord are right. You must now walk in them. You see, the walk authenticates the conviction we have that God's ways are right. Right ways, right walk, characterized as righteous. It's the right actions before man and the right actions before God. Righteousness is the horizontal. Godliness is the vertical. Wow. We must ask ourselves, who is the God or little g God of your choices? And we're going to start seeing God and the little g God throughout Hosea. I want you to listen to this modern teaching on wisdom that is from a very reputable counseling location and on their website about how to make choices, about what wisdom is, and the choices that is being propagated in counseling today. So hear me now. I'm not going to put this on the screen. Just listen. You must give yourself the space to feel your emotion before you can find the path to the wise choice. So give yourself the space to feel what's going on. So to access your feelings, all you need to do is slow down, put your hand on your heart and your belly, and ask, what am I feeling? Then take several deep breaths and drop into your emotional body and see then what emerges. Feelings don't come from your mind, they live in your body. For your heart is your power center for making right choices. You see, the wisdom will come when you follow your heart, which is really sage wisdom for decision making, but you must know how to talk to your heart so that you can access your heart's guidance. And this is the counseling being received today. Sadly, there are professing believers who live with this as their roadmap. Society today is buying into this, everyone. That decision-making process, that the little g God is the God of most choices. Meaning, really, we all know that it's the love of self. We all know decisions are going to have to be made over and over again in life. I mean, just this morning, you had to make numerous decisions. Do I get up? When am I getting out of bed? What's the first thing I'm going to do? Where am I going today? What am I going to say? Choices and decisions from little to monumental all throughout life. In fact, we make them daily. We are constantly confronted with the right way or the wrong way. Every day, this is the confrontation. This is the battle. Will I take the path of wisdom in this choice and obey the Lord and do what he says is right? Or am I going to play the fool and listen to my heart's wise counsel and do my feelings? Am I going to go for my immediate pleasure, for my satisfaction, for what I think, for what I feel, regardless of what it says right here in the Word of God? I cannot tell you how I in my own life at times have said, but I think when God's Word says this, but I feel when God's Word says something opposite. Where are we going to make those choices? Am I going to lean on my own understanding or the Lord's way? Will I acknowledge God and His ways and obey His commands? This is what we're going to see over and over again in the book of Hosea. You see, God said of Israel in Hosea 13, 13, he is not a wise son. When it came to the choices, this was God's response. The book of Hosea, then, everyone, is an object lesson from the history of Israel, from the history of not being wise, but playing the fool by not walking in the right ways of the Lord. So you may say, oh, my word, we're going to hear that every week. Oh, man. Well, we are going to hear some things every week, but I want you to know there's the encouragement of the loving God who can do something about that and change that. Amen? There's a third truth the wise person understands from the book of Hosea. Not only that the ways of the Lord are right and the righteous will walk in them, but transgressors will stumble in them. Do you remember God told Adam and Eve in the garden in Genesis 2:17, you will surely die if they disobeyed him and ate of the tree of good and evil. You will surely die. I mean, we look at that now and we're like, man, I don't get it. Wasn't that very plain? Then came Satan the serpent, who said to the woman, you surely will not die. Genesis 3:4. In other words, Satan is really saying, don't believe God, everyone. The consequences for sin and disobedience will not be what God says. Don't believe him. The consequences aren't as God has told you. You surely will not. And ever since then, Satan has been whispering into my ear and my life and your ear of man and sin and disobedience to God. The consequences aren't going to happen. Especially because we don't often see the consequences immediately. The unwise person, having no fear and no respect of God, believes that lie. You see, a famous line from Hosea in Hosea 8:7 is this, for they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Wow. The foolishness of walking in our own sinful way, doing what is right in our own eyes instead of the right ways of the Lord, is not just a futile effort of obtaining genuine satisfaction and joy in life. That's sowing the wind. A futile effort of sowing what you want. But it yields great consequences, far greater, far more dire in our lives. It reaps a whirlwind more than one can ever imagine. The sad part is, that whirlwind can be in a day, or many experience 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years later, as the whirlwind comes crashing in of sinful living. For you see, this book of Hosea, he is the prophet of Israel's zero hour. Israel has sunk so deep into depravity at this point and corruption and her failure to obey God that now the catastrophic judgment of God, his whirlwind of judgment, it can no longer be avoided. That's what we see. The wise will learn from this book. I want you to be encouraged to say, wait a minute. I can have this type of wisdom. I can put these three principles into my life and live the life God would have me live, to live the blessed life. Wait a minute. I don't have to repeat what we're going to see. Wait a minute. You mean the Holy Spirit is going to use this to sift me and grow me? You see, the wise will learn from the book of Hosea this, in this third point, that transgressors will stumble. whether that be individuals, whether that be nations. Nations will come and nations will go and nations will fall. Nations will fall. And that stumbling, that fall is often devastating. I want to learn from that. I don't want to do that. Do you want to do that? And ultimately, will be devastating. Listen to this. Unlike unwise people who sow the wind and reap the whirlwind in Hosea 8:7, you got to love this. The wise people, says Hosea, well then, because they are wise, sow with the view to righteousness. You see that? Knowing that there is a good harvest, knowing that there is a reward for us, knowing that taking the path of doing what is right in the Lord's eyes is good. It's what God wants. It's what pleases Him. Let's again look at that word right. It basically means, as I told you, smooth and level. I want you to think about this for just a moment. We often understand the meaning of a word. Do we not? I mean, right, smooth, level. That's what it means. But think about this for a moment. Do we understand how that word is played out in application of its meaning? How it plays out in one's life? You see, this Hebrew word right is the word that not only shows us the straight path to walk, but it shows us what life will be like when we take the right path, the way of the Lord. This is what life will be like for you. Isaiah, a contemporary of Hosea, he wrote this in Isaiah 26:7, the way of the Lord is righteous, is smooth. O upright one, make the path of the righteous level. There we have the two words, smooth, level. Indeed, while following the way of your judgments, O Lord, there's the right way. We have waited for you eagerly. Your name, even your memory, is the desire of our souls. Do you see? God and His way, when He is our desire, not only do we understand the definition of the word, but your life will be smooth. Your life will be level. Do you like that? I mean, if you are wise enough to walk in the right ways of the Lord, you will find your path smooth and level. Wait a minute, Pastor. How can you make such a monumental statement? You mean, I'm never going to have troubles? I'm never going to have trials? No, that's not what we mean. That's not what this verse means. It doesn't mean you will never face trials or troubles in your life. This is what it means. It means you will not have the trials and troubles that come from sin, the trials and troubles that come from doing what you want to do instead of what God says to do. The way of the righteous is smooth and level. Therefore, it is not a life of climbing over and climbing under and climbing out of the sinkholes of sin, or trying to climb over the mountains of sorrows, trying to climb through the mountains of shame. Your life will be smooth. Your life will be right. And the trials God brings will bring from Him for His glory. But don't you want to avoid those type of trials in your life? Amen. So in summary, Hosea says, whoever is wise will learn and apply these three lessons to their life. We must start in the back of the book so that we can understand what's going on through the book. You will say, the ways of the Lord are right. I am convicted of it, convinced of it. The righteous will walk in them, and transgressors will stumble in them. If we can apply these three truths to our lives, you will be used mightily for the Lord. You will be living in the joy of your salvation. Amen. We've all heard it. Someone once said, smart people learn from their mistakes. Wise people learn from others' mistakes. The fool doesn't learn from either. He keeps repeating them. Who are we going to be? Oftentimes in my life, I've been the smart guy. Earlier in my life, I was the fool. Now in my life, I want to be the wise man. I don't want to learn from my mistakes. I want to learn from God's word. If we are wise, then As we start this series, we will learn from Hosea. We will learn from the history of Israel. I want you to know this today, that life doesn't have to be filled with the kind of drama that comes from doing things our way instead of God's way. Life can be filled with the joys of the Lord when you're convicted, when it's Him who's your everything, when it's Him who says, I'm going to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord and not my heart, not man. Satan will always lie to us that that is not a fun way to go. That is not the way. That's going to be opposed to your desires and your wants. And that is a lie. It is God who transforms our hearts, minds, and soul. Is it not? We will see in Hosea that there is a God, the one true God, who loves us. Because I'm here to tell you, I'm going to tell you all sometime through this series, we're all a bunch of adulterer, cheater, whores, spiritually. Those are God's words, not mine. We're going to see how God really looks at sin. We're going to see how it really impacts Him and others around us. But yet we're going to see how God in His love and His grace and His mercy wants to pardon, wants to restore, wants to cleanse. And we have a choice to learn from this book. Isaiah 30, verse 18 says, therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. And therefore, He waits on high to have compassion on you. Wow. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for Him. Who are you longing for? Who is number one in your life? We go His way. And we walk in His way. Wow, this is a Lord who longs to be gracious to you. This is a Lord who waits on high to have compassion on you. I want that relationship with my Lord. If He has done all He's done for me and knowing who He is, does He not deserve it? Do we not want that? To those who are wise enough to long for Him, to live for Him, I kid you not, showers of blessing await you in your relationship with Christ. Oh, He wants to give all that to you. Kayla, come on up. So I hope you will be with us every week as we look at God's word to us in the book of Hosea. And before I close, I want to encourage you. Here we go. I'm taking a break from Hosea next week because we're having communion. Are the ways of the Lord right? Yes. Then why don't you start next week by coming here and doing what He commands us to do, to remember Him, to participate in the remembrance of Him. It's a command. He wants to remind us of what He's done for us in the past, in our justification and dying for us and paying the price for our sin. He wants to remind us what He does for us now in our walk with Him through the washing of the Word and continually reconciling us to Him in fellowship to Him, cleansing us from our sin. And He wants to remind us what Carol Ann experienced today, that glory awaits us all and we will be in His presence one day. So come next Sunday and participate in communion. There's your first litmus test in Hosea. Are the ways of the Lord right? Well, He says, come do this. This week, I want to give you a homework assignment. I want to ask you to wake up every day on top of whatever you're doing in your walk with the Lord in your personal time. And I want you to ask you to do this for me as we start this series. I want you to pray this to the Lord. Psalm 25, 4 through 5. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Do you think God will come flowing in to answer that prayer for you on a daily basis? He will. So as we start this wonderful journey into Hosea, When we come back from communion, we still will not be in Hosea. We will be in Hosea, but we're going to start in Kings, and we're going to go back and find out how this got to this point. And we're going to go 200 years before Hosea so that we can learn and understand what we're reading in Hosea. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Let that be this week, the verse in your life. Let's stand and let's sing together.